Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. If you weren't with us yesterday, Happy New Year to all of you. We're back and ready to roll as we hit the 2012 campaign season. And the votes start today, sort of, as we'll explain in just a moment. But the Iowa caucuses are today, and we'll get to that in more detail as we go along. But one of the people, of course, who is expected to do very well today and possibly win is longtime Texas Congressman Ron Paul. And one of the things that folks have also asked about Ron Paul is, if you don't ultimately win the nomination, will you run as a third-party candidate? He has dodged that issue in some ways more convincingly than others. Obviously, he doesn't want to give the impression that he'd be a sore loser within his own party, so he wants to give the impression, and probably honestly so, Jim, I think, that he intends to vigorously seek the GOP nomination. His son has actually been a little bit more definitive about what he thinks of a third-party run. Here's Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky being asked about the possibility of his dad running as a third-party candidate on WGIR radio in New Hampshire.
You know, I don't think it's a good idea because people have been asking me for a couple years now, is the Tea Party going to stay within the Republican Party? And I've been saying that the Tea Party has power and influence by primarily keeping Republicans and making them more consistent with their platform and their principles. But if the Tea Party branches off, it'll be a certain election for President Obama.
An excellent point. I think, Jim, most conservatives would agree with. He also points out that even Ross Perot and his unlimited resources couldn't win a single electoral vote in two cracks at the presidency. So he's basically saying a third-party candidacy, especially right now, would only hand things to Obama. Let's hope his dad thinks the same thing.
Yeah, the only thing would be better than hearing Rand Paul say that a third-party bid by Ron Paul would be a bad idea would be hearing it from Ron Paul himself. It doesn't take much to get me disgruntled with Ron Paul. But one of the things is that when asked about this, he'll usually say, oh, I have no plans to, I have no intention of, I don't think I'm, you know, he always leaves himself that little, he never says anything simply as, I'm not going to run third party. It's never as definitive as that. He always leaves that tiny little bit of sliver of a possibility. And I think that, one, I really can't see that many scenarios in which Ron Paul runs third party and Barack Obama is not reelected. Maybe if aliens land, we'll have some sort of, you know, the anti-Obama perspective. And then maybe, you know, maybe third-party Ron Paul would end up being elected president or something like that. Or if Federal Reserve Chairman Bernanke declares treasonous and decides to destroy America or something like that. Chances are a third-party bid by Ron Paul means Barack Obama gets a second term. And for all the things that Ron Paul claims to believe in, be it the pro-life cause, be it the limited government clause, be it for, you know, sound monetary, for all of his causes, nothing could be more, you know, harmed worse than a second term of Barack Obama. So I don't like the tone of this. I didn't like the Murkowski jump in to run third party write-in bid up in Alaska. I mean, we have primaries for a reason. And yes, you know, it really stinks to lose, but that's one of the possibilities when you go into this thing. So you shouldn't be quite so shocked when you end up coming in, you know, not first place. A lot of people are not going to come in first place. Traditionally, you accept that, and this whole possibility of, well, you know, if I don't get what I want, I might run third party. It just kind of gives off a vibe of a tantrum, and this applies to the occasional murmurs of Huntsman running third party. Apparently, when Bloomberg was talking about how he commands the seventh largest army in the world, and that's his curious definition of the New York City Police Department, there was talk of Bloomberg running third party. I don't quite understand this whole mentality of, well, I'm going to do, you know, if I can't get what I want through the party process, I'm going to say to heck with it all, I'll run third party, and I don't care what the consequences are. It is a bad trend in our politics, and if Ron Paul can be dissuaded of this by anyone, by circumstances, or by his son, hurrah for that.
As we said before, the votes start tonight, sort of, and by sort of, if you haven't read The Morning Jolt yet, you'll understand why. It's a little bit more confusing than you originally thought. I think most folks have an idea that caucuses are more involved than primaries, but in Iowa, as Jim pointed out today in the Jolt, you don't actually win delegates. It's kind of a giant straw poll. Folks as young as 17 can vote if, in fact, they turn 18 before the general election day in November. Democrats can participate, and they can register as recently as today. So there's a lot of different aspects to this that people might find bewildering. To me, the delegate allotment, after all the money spent, is certainly one of the biggest ones there. And Jim, I think ever since the Bush campaign back in 2000 pushed for non-Republicans to be able to vote in primaries, and it almost cost them that nomination, quite frankly, it's been an interesting addition to the primary that I'm not sure a lot of conservatives welcome.
my colleague Jonah wrote in USA Today this morning that my National Review colleague Jim Garrity has been on something of a jihad against the caucuses of late. So back in my early blogging days, during when I was commanding what we call the pajama hadin against the Sauronic eye of CBS News, I was called Pajama Bin Bloggin. So perhaps I should not be surprised to be called a jihadist on against Iowa. Look, there are a lot of problems with it. As you said about regarding the delegate selection, so this is the precinct level winners, but then they go on to the county level and the state convention, and the actual 20-something delegates actually get allocated by that. And so traditionally this is held much later in the year, and there's a very good chance that whoever has the nominee locked up by summer, that in the end all of the Iowa delegates will end up going towards that figure. So as they said, this is not all that different from a giant straw poll. The amount of media coverage and the amount of intensity and speculation is kind of baffling in light of all that. One big factor for I will be watching very closely tonight is turnout. I hear people saying that last cycle's 119,000 people was a good number for the Republicans, and perhaps it was, considering how there was a very intense fight going on the Democrat side. And if you are a registered independent, you can participate in either one of them just by registering with the party that evening. If you are currently not a registered Republican in Iowa, if you change by 7 o'clock tonight, you can vote in the Republican primary. And, you know, some of us would prefer to have closed primaries. I think if you want to have a say in a party's, you know, presidential nominee, I think you should be a member of that party. And I don't think you should be able to do it just on primary night. I think, you know, it's, I don't think it's too much to ask you do it, you know, sometime before then. So, yes, independents will be participating in this. Chances are there'll be some Democrats who will come over, decide to make some mischief. You can argue about who that's going to help, whether it's going to help Ron Paul, or maybe they decide that they like one of these other guys. Maybe there'll be a late surge for Huntsman, the guy who has completely skipped the state. You know, I mean, who knows? The opportunity for mischief seems pretty considerable. So I don't like this. I don't like the low turnout. I'm hoping it clears 119,000. I think, you know, with nothing really going on the Democrat side, it should be higher. I think what's really appalling is just that it's so much lower than regular primary turnout, like when they had the gubernatorial primary in 2010. You know, there was more than 200,000 people there. So I would like to get as many Iowa Republicans weighing in on this as possible. I like primaries a lot more than I like caucuses. And so Iowa should not mean as much as it does, but it does. And so in light of that, let's try to get this as having as broad a participation as possible amongst Republicans, because, you know, Iowa, you have this first in the nation role. We keep hearing about how wonderfully you take it seriously. Hearing that 41% of you still aren't sure who you want to vote for does not reassure me of your seriousness. But, you know, let's see what we get tonight.
Well, on to our
Iowa.
Yeah. Well, sometimes the third martini is funny. It's just crazy. And sometimes it's outrageous. And that's the case today. Rick Santorum finally getting his moment in the sun in Iowa, polling in double digits, a solid third in most surveys. Some suggest he might even be riding his 99-county tour all the way to first place. We'll find out later tonight. But the idea and the topic of conversation came up on a recent Fox News conversation between liberal Alan Colmes, who used to be part of Hannity and Colmes, and National Review editor Rich Lowry, who's a Fox News contributor. Colmes says, well, Santorum's hard work may be paying off, but his craziness is going to cost him down the road. And here's the pretty tough exchange that followed.
Once they get a load of some of the crazy things he said and done, like taking his two-hour-old baby who died right after childbirth home and played with it for a couple of hours so his other children would know that the child was real. I mean,
that's
stuff
a cheap,
like that.
That's a cheap shot, Alan.
That's not a
to
cheap
say
shot.
That's crazy.
No, it's not. No,
something
it's not.
That's that personal.
No, it's not a cheap shot.
And that is as that personal and hurtful as losing a child.
I didn't interrupt you, Rich.
And to mock it, to mock it like that is really beyond the pale and beneath you. You are mocking him. That is
beneath
you.
First of all, I didn't interrupt you, but I'm not mocking him.
I'm interrupting you because what you're saying is contemptible.
Let me know when you're done.
Colmes, of course, pulling the Ross Perot there, saying you're cutting me off. You won't let me finish, slouching in his chair like a 5-year-old. And, you know, folks are going to have different opinions of Rick Santorum. He's obviously very outspoken on social issues. Some folks love that. Some folks don't. But what Alan Colmes did there and making that a major issue in a moment of great tragedy for that family is just beyond the pale, and good for Rich Lowry for pointing it out and staying on him for it.
Yeah, it will probably not surprise people to know that I like my boss, Rich Lowry. I'm particularly proud of him in this moment. The only way I could be prouder is if he had actually I don't think they were terribly far away from each other in the studio. So if he'd actually gone over and kicked Alan Colmes in the crotch, I might have been even prouder of him. Let's observe something. There's a lot of stuff to criticize about Rick Santorum. I have all kinds of beefs with him dating back to the 2004 Senate primary in Pennsylvania when he backed Arlen Specter over Pat Toomey. Mm. But to go after this particular act of Santorum and his family, I mean, is this, you know, God forbid, there before the grace of God go I would react in that circumstance? I don't know. Perhaps not. But who the heck are any of us to judge how a man mourns the loss of his child? I just, you know, of all the things you could evaluate Rick Santorum's qualifications for the presidency, whether he'd make a good presidency, to pick this is just so asinine that I just kind of wonder if Fox News wants to continue its association with Alan Colmes. And, there are a lot of times you can say and, you know, say things you regret, say things that come out wrong. I could certainly understand somebody kind of raising their eyebrows at that story or perhaps being surprised. This is not often what people do when they're mourning a child. But again, I kind of have this attitude of who are we to judge? Who are we to say that this is somehow weird or inappropriate or that there's something wrong with this? As Rich said, it's just so personal. I just can't imagine how you decide that this is somehow unpresidential or it tells us something about how he'd be as president. So I'm not going to say, you know, fire Alan Colmes over this. I'm just going to say I just think it was an appalling statement on Colmes' part. Apparently he called Santorum and apologized. I'm glad to hear that. I also kind of, I guess you could say this whole circumstance is causing me to have even greater respect for Santorum because reporters found Santorum on the trail out in Iowa, told him about this and asked him if he wanted to reply. And apparently you could just tell he had a very visible emotional reaction. He said, it'd probably be best that I didn't. And considering how I would probably fly off the handle, I have to say I admire Rick Santorum's ability to control his temper in those circumstances. So, Alan Colmes, I'm glad he apologized. This is not the first time I've seen Alan Colmes say ridiculous things about the way Republican presidential candidates or vice presidential candidates treat their children, as those of us with long memories of the Palin's candidacy will recall. In a very crowded media environment, one of the few ways that you can stand out is by saying things that are shocking and provocative. And I have this terrible feeling that in the worst case scenario, when you lose all control over your ability of what comes out of your mouth, you turn into Alan Colmes. So I would just say to everyone out there in the media business, or really just kids out there today, don't grow up and be Alan Colmes. All right? He's kind of the anti-role model for all of us.
That was really good advice even before this, but especially good advice now. Jim, enjoy the final day of Iowa. New Hampshire is only 7 days away. See you tomorrow.
Only a couple hours now, Greg. Only a couple hours, and then I start griping about New Hampshire.
There you go. Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.